best 5 minutes of the day. And the guy I went to the largest used bookstore in the state of Wisconsin in Viroqua with on Saturday, Jason Kanz, is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how did that happen that we went there?
So I had read about this bookstore last year sometime and had thought I would really like to check that place out at some point. And it always just felt like, it's 2 hours away. And I had been talking with someone about doing something spontaneously. And he said, you should just do something spontaneously. And so I was like, you know what? I think I might go to the bookstore. And so I mentioned it to you at breakfast on Saturday.
Yep.
And hopped in the car and drove down, had great conversation on the way there and on the way back, and spent a bit of time browsing in their chilly bookstore.
Now, it was cold. They apparently do not have heat there because they're not open in the winter, right?
And right, so. Right, exactly, yeah. In fact, they just opened for the season a couple weeks ago, and so, but it was great. You know, it was a lot. I love bookstores. I could have spent the whole day just kind of looking at bookshelves and whatnot, but as you indicated online, it was really the conversation there and back that was really beneficial.
Well, when you raised it at breakfast, you didn't say, hey, do you want to come? I mean, you were like, hey, I'm thinking about this today, and I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I could do that. I could make it. And so we went book hunting. You know, some guys like to go hunting for other things. We went book hunting. So,
I found some books I liked.
Here's the funny thing. I found a few. Yeah, your bill about tripled mine. But I think one of your books cost what all of mine did. But of the four I bought, there was one that was interesting to my wife. But the one she was... You had a number of books you were going to trade in, including a Richard Rohr about St. Francis of Assisi. Well, she's...
Yeah.
That was the one that she was most interested in, I think. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not surprised. I mean, that she would be drawn to not only to Richard Rohr's writing, because I think he's great, but to the idea about St. Francis. I think I can see Peggy being drawn to that. So
yeah, there's just been another one recently that she'd ordered related to him. So, I wanted to. It's a Mental Health Monday, and so I was thinking about the subject of depression, and sometimes can we get this mistaken notion, and somebody had a meme with this on Facebook recently, the idea that you may be a Christian, but that doesn't mean that you don't struggle with things. I mean, Charles Spurgeon maybe most famously is somebody who had deep struggles with depression, and many others, our friend Larry Crabb talked about, do you have any idea how depressed I get, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I think that's one of the challenges or one of the things where I think we maybe misstep sometimes as Christians is this mistaken notion that Christians don't get depressed or Christians don't get anxious. And you know, I think Charles Spurgeon was certainly one of the most, I mean, very deep periods of depression. You know, again, I think friends sitting vigil because he just couldn't get motivated to do things. And, you know, I think we certainly, if we look at the Old Testament, we see examples of that with David and Elijah, right? I mean, so I think it's definitely something that can come back around. I know I've dealt with it quite a bit over the years, and it can be a real thing, so.
One of the questions that can arise is whether we want to answer it now or wait till next week is just the idea of medication, right? And then so it can be, there's different views sometimes. So.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you and I had been talking, and I had shared that I had been on one medication for a while and switched to something else recently. And it just kind of adds some, I had been feeling... My depression never has been really a lot of sadness. It's much more loss of interest and emotional numbing and loss of motivation. And switching medications has added a little bit of brightness. So that's been a good thing for me. And, you know, I think that's probably a much longer conversation, but one I'm always open to having.
All right. Well, let's remember it for next Monday then. So depression, medication, and just that whole, because if, whether it's you or someone you love through it, it can be scary and concerning. And Hey, you mentioned Andrew Peterson, a book from him that you'd read. And tell me a song that I can look for that can go out with him on depression here.
Yeah, if you can find The Rain Keeps Falling, I think is probably one that best kind of captures his own story with depression. And
tell me about this book that you read that he wrote during the pandemic.
Yeah, so it's called The God of the Garden, and it is a book. I thought it was mostly about trees, and it is a lot about trees, but it also deals with kind of his own story and coming to know himself and wrestling with some mental health stuff through the pandemic and before that, and just really, really powerful book. I've loved every book of his that I've written.
First of all, let's say good morning to our friend Drew Fralick. Good morning.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Pastor and stand-up comic. So I'm good. I'm good. But I got to ask you, though, we talk about the special events after our 6:30 weather before the markets, and I said it's Plumber's Day. I held off. The first thing that came to my mind was, hey, make sure to pull up your pants. And so I held off and shared, but then it's just like in terms of doing stand-up comedy, you've got your routine, but then you also, I'm sure, have things come to mind, but it's always a little, and that's the whole area of improv about saying what's there, but it can come back and bite you sometimes, right?
Yeah. I mean, National Plumbers Day, I just want to give a shout out to Mario, Luigi, thank you for your service. The Arm and Hammer Man, I believe, is a plumber. Is he? I've only seen his arm, but it seems like there's a plunger in it. So thank you to all those guys for keeping the world spinning. That's an important job. So,
oh, absolutely. Men and women, you've got to say. So,
yes, I'll be honest. Can I be honest, though? I've never seen a female plumber before. I know they're out there. But
all right. No, I haven't either.
Know?
I was just trying
I'm
to.
Just be, I'm just saying, you know, you got to tell the truth. But I'm sure they're out there. So all the female plumbers in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, thank you for what you do. We appreciate you.
I have not met her either. But again, it's easier and safer to say it's Zucchini Bread Day and World Penguin Day. And also, it is. It'd be interesting. Here we go. You and I share the same birthday, but you're 20 years younger. It is Mani Pedi Day. In my 57, almost 58 years, never had a mani or a pedi. You?
Oh, yeah. No, I never have, but everybody tells me, oh, you need to go get a mani pedi. It's fantastic. You'll feel great. I hate to have my toes touched, you know?
Yeah.
And so it sounds like torture to me. But you should go get one, Mark.
You know what?
You know. When your birthday comes up, go get one. Treat yourself.
Well, our birthday's on the same day. What if we both commit to it, and then that could be content for the following Monday?
There we go.
Okay?
Okay.
Hey,
I'll do it if you do it.
well-known writer Parker Palmer apparently was one of many who struggled with depression, and he said the thing that helped the most was not advice from people, but it was somebody would come like weekly and massage his feet. And I don't know, like that was how the human touch aspect. So
I have heard about this a little bit. You know, some of the listeners know I was in China for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there is like this, like, I don't know what it's called, reflexology or something like that. There's these points, you know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how it works. But I've heard, you know, you could get your foot touched and it would help. But I don't know. I'd have to check the data on that, you know, but
All right.
I'm not sure.
We'll have further dialogue about whether or not we're committed to the Mani Pedi on our June 12th birthday. In the meantime, this is the dark anniversary, 7 years since your worst comedy gig ever. What happened?
So I had this gig at a hospital. It was actually the hospital that I was born at in Michigan.
Okay.
So I was born and died there. And it was terrible. It was in a cafeteria. There was lots of confused doctors were like, why does this patient have a microphone? You know? So I was telling you this before the show, saying, hey, we should talk about that. And you said, I think we've already talked about that. And I go, Mark, you and I are like an old married couple. We're just rehashing the same five stories.
But apparently not the case, because I was thinking you told me, but I was thinking it happened in China or somewhere. So if it happened in Michigan in a hospital, I don't remember. What happened?
So I got booked to do this gig, and it was supposed to be in a theater, but they were like, we're going to have it in the cafeteria at 11 o'clock in the morning instead. And no one knew it was a comedy show. So all these exhausted, these exhausted nurses and doctors are sitting down for their lunch break. And I'm like, hey, what's the deal with airline food? And they're like, why are you up here? So it was brutal. And it was for Nurses Appreciation Week.
Okay.
And they decided not to give them raises, but to hire me for a comedy show instead.
Yeah.
So they were very upset about that. So it wasn't, it was terrible. I still think about it from time to time.
Again, you've gone much further in comedy than I have, but I did put my toe in the water. And one of the gigs I remember, and if my mom is listening in the live stream, be interesting. But I remember doing a nursing home. I can't remember which one, but a nursing home in Milwaukee. And that's a good place. I mean, even if you're a rising musician, or go ahead, you know, they welcome you.
They love to laugh at the nursing home.
I'd probably try to bedpan joke. Well, we typically do weekend recap. I usually bat lead off and I kind of recap my weekend, and then Caleb does. But forget that this week, because Single Mom Saturday was Saturday, and I think we want to hear about that.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to share. And again, we posted some pictures on Facebook. I know now everybody's on there, and Facebook doesn't show everybody that as well, too. But we wanted to give you a report, those of you who took such an active role in prayer and financially and making this event possible, along with so many sponsors. And so it started out at bright and early, 8 a.m. at Bloomer Tire Center. And so we met the moms there, and several of them were getting oil changes because their vehicle was due. So again, we get them set up, and then we loaded them onto the coach bus from Cobison, and then several of our vehicles as well too, and met a great driver, Barb from Cobison, and it was crazy. As it turned out later, when Carol and Michelle were explaining what the day was about to our driver, she broke down in tears and said, I was a single mom for 11 years.
Wow.
And after that, we took everybody to Mycon Cinemas. I just have to give a shout out to Mike and Connie. You know, in the movie industry, Friday nights, that's a big time, right? So they were there late on a Friday night with so many people, late showings and things like that. Got up early, opened the entire theater specially just for our group, and gave every single mom, every single child their choice of pop and popcorn as well, too. Again, there's nothing better than
folks.
The smell of a movie theater full of popcorn. So they opened up special early just for us. And then we all saw Sonic 2, the new Sonic the Hedgehog movie. And I was a little worried, wondered, well, would the older kids like it? But they all thought it was just a great movie, which was a blessing to my heart as well. Because we knew that there'd be some wind for sure, possibly some rain, Crossroads Church in Chippewa Falls graciously opened their facility to us. And so we had the event there. They have a big gymnasium where we set up all the inflatables from Rock and Roll to Go Plus. Mark and the crew are just fantastic with entertainment. And so once the movie was over, again, we bussed and hauled everybody over to Crossroads Church. And then it was just 90 minutes of sheer beautiful chaos with as much fun as you possibly could have. So we had the Tasty Trolley food truck there, and again, barbecue pulled pork nachos and pretzels and regular nachos and walking tacos and lemon slushies and all sorts of things, so everybody could get whatever they wanted from the food truck. And Joseph's Cheesecakes, he brought in special cheesecake cupcakes for every single person there, plus extras.
Wow.
And there were even a couple special young men there that I loved meeting, and they had some special dietary needs because of their health. Mm. And so he made a paleo and a keto cheesecake specifically for them so they wouldn't feel left out.
Wow.
So, Chef Nick, I thank you for that. And again, we had the huge inflatable Spider-Man obstacle course.
You've been wanting that one.
Yeah, I really wanted that, and that's the one that we got. And then there was a smaller bouncy castle with a slide for some of the younger kids. But, I mean, they just went on that obstacle course again and again and again. We were just able to hopefully entertain them and have fun. Kevin's juggling in a balloon, speaking of entertainment. He was there. I have no idea how many balloon creations he twisted that day along with his juggling. But, I mean, everything from American flags to giraffes to beautiful, like, flowers and roses to an octopus. I mean, they're just...
He's so good.
And again, just some great conversations, too. Melinda Gardner from Apple was there, and Carol and Betsy from Evenings, and Terry and Michelle. And just to be able to chat, we mentioned before, it's a lonely road to walk as a single parent. And so just to be able to talk with these single moms...
toughest job in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, we had the goodie bags as well, too. Some of the highlights of that, $250 in gas cards, all sorts of food.
These bags were huge, Caleb. They were huge.
And books and CDs and Bibles and Wib swag and just so many different things. Mason Shoe Outlet Store in Chippewa Falls gave every single mom and every single child a pair of shoes for the day, too, that they can pick up this weekend. So they got to put the sizing information, all that. And I feel like, man, I'm going on and on, but just so many things. But there's no way I can possibly in words describe what that day was like. Just as we post on Facebook, there's no way with pictures we possibly could describe. But if I can share one final thing, this happened before the end. And of course, at the end, $19,000 we were able to surprise these single moms with the vehicle repair fund at Bloomer Tire Center and cap everything off with that, hey, anything your car needs now, in the future, it's taken care of. That's by people you may never meet this side of heaven.
$1,900 a piece for each of the 10 moms. Yeah.
But they love you. They want to bless you. They want to honor you. And this wasn't a charity case. This wasn't, we see that you're in need. This was, we want to bless you and honor you for that incredibly tough road you're walking, and we want to come alongside you. And just the one thing that I wanted to share at the end was, again, we had a wide range from a one-year-old all the way up to 15 years old with the kids. And we had around 30 people with the moms and children for all the events of the day. And there was one young lady, she was the oldest one who was there, and she was 15. And, I noticed she went to the movie and got the food from the food truck, but wasn't really engaging with the balloons and the inflatables and all that. And I just kind of thought, man, did I miss the mark in terms of engaging this young woman? Should I have done something more? Did she feel bored? Did she feel like this was, again, a charity event? Did she feel embarrassed? Was she just like, oh, this is just for kids? You know, should I have done more to try to make her feel welcome? And before she left, though, she walked up to me and handed me this note. I've got it in my hand right now, Halvon.
Yeah.
If you've seen an iron cross before, she had hand sketched.
Wow.
A beautiful,
she did
beautiful
that?
Iron cross while she was at the church surrounded by roses. Again, this is absolutely gorgeous.
Powerful.
And she just walked up to me, didn't say a word, this quiet, reserved teenager, but handed me this beautiful drawing. But on the back, she'd written a note. And she said, I came here and I felt my worries slip from me like a coat. Thank you for holding them for me. And friends, that is the heart of God for this. That we can bear each other's burdens. And we do this for the moms, yes, but we have no idea what some of these kids might be carrying the weight of the world on their young shoulders. And so if we can surround them and embrace them and say, even if it's just for this Saturday, we have a safe place here where you know that you're loved, where we can hold you and remind you that God is holding you close and that he loves you, that we wanted to minister to these families, but instead it's our hearts that came away so full, as always, when we try to surrender what we do to God. And so all I can say to him, most of all, to all of you, is thank you. Thank you for being part of the beautiful work that God is doing in the Chippewa Valley in Western Wisconsin, the lives of these families. Thank you.
This is an important message from the Chippewa Falls Police Department. Again, this is a message from the Chippewa Falls Police Department. We are searching for a missing, 10-year-old female Ileana Peters, also known as Lily Peters. She was last seen near the 400 block of North Grove Street in the city of Chippewa Falls on Sunday evening, April 24th. If you have seen Lily or know her whereabouts, please call the Chippewa County Dispatch Center at 715-726-7701, option 1. For more information, tune into local media. Thank you.
That's Matthew West, the beautiful things we miss, 746, 35 degrees. In case you missed it, we do have breaking news, Havel.
Yes. We do this morning. The Chippewa Falls Police Department searching for a missing child, 10-year-old Ileana M. Peters, who goes by the name Lily, a fourth grader at Parkview Elementary School, reported missing About 9 o'clock last night by her dad, Peter's father said that she didn't return home after visiting her aunt's house in the 400 block of North Grove Street. She was last seen by family members last night. She was supposed to be heading home to the 50 block of East Burst Street, but she wasn't found in the area. Her bike was found after dark near her aunt's home near the walking trail between the end of North Grove Street and the Leinenkugel's Brewery parking lot. She was last seen wearing a purple quarter-zip long-sleeve shirt and black stretch pants and gray shoes. K-9 teams from the Chippewa County Sheriff's Department and Lake Halley Police Department called in to search the area last night. The Sheriff's Department also using a drone to search the woods near the area that she went missing. Meanwhile, Chippewa Falls police investigators continuing to follow up with family and friends who might have information. Currently, the incident has now met, I believe, an alert system criteria. So anyone with information on her whereabouts, please contact the Chippewa County Dispatch Center at 715-726-7701 and select option one.
Absolutely. We're praying that Lily will be found safe and sound very, very soon.
Stop trying to amuse yourself and start thinking about what makes actual human beings laugh.
Ah, the Wib Wake Up Show, Make Us Laugh Monday. It's our weekly challenge. We have a whole week to gather
We have a whole week
jokes.
And yet a couple minutes before this segment, it's, do you have any jokes?
I know. All right, the pressure's on. For the pressure's off, read that book by Larry Crabb. But the pressure's on. Here we go. The first one for me, you know, Caleb, as we head into summer, right around the corner, I wish I lived in a world where mosquitoes would suck fat instead of blood.
Oh, well, I have a friend who knows I've been a little down lately. He keeps trying to cheer me up, saying, hey, man, it could be worse. You could be stuck underground in a hole full of water. I know he means well.
Okay. That was my second joke.
Oh, was it?
That was my second joke. I'm not kidding you.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to turn to Will Rogers. But something he said years and years ago, the great Will Rogers, is still true today because, you know, read Ecclesiastes. I mean, things remain the same. But they feel like they're changing. I mean, people are taking their comedians seriously and their politicians as a joke.
Oh, well, my second one that I didn't steal from you unwittingly. My friend Jack claims, Halvo, he claims he can speak to garden vegetables.
Really?
I guess Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, am I going right to my last one?
No,
since
I got
one.
I've got one. Okay. I found one here. Right. Make sure that it's okay. I hate it when people act all intellectual and talk about Mozart when they've never even seen one of his paintings.
Oh, and my last one on Make Us Laugh Monday here on the Wib Wake Up Show. A guy brings a can of Raid insect spray up to the counter and asks the cashier, is this good for wasps? She replies, no, it kills them.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Make Us Laugh Monday. We did what we could. It's time to get back to the music. I don't know. I signed up for Cademan's Call's email list. And I don't know if you heard about this, Havel. Big announcement from them. This is not a joke. This is real. 25th anniversary of their self-titled debut album, Cademan's Call. They're getting back together to re-record that project. They're going to do a one-night-only show at the Ryman Auditorium. They're going to make a documentary about this re-recording as well. So super cool.
Yeah.
I love Cademan's Call.
Mm-hmm.
Love
we're both
them.
Fans, yeah.
So this is actually a song that I remember in my own poor way trying to teach myself on the guitar and play and sing back when I was a teenager.
Huh.
Cademan's Call from that debut album that's soon to be re-recorded. It's called This World. It has nothing for me, must only be God.
Well, these days there are so many things we've been doing wrong according to social media and various experts. Even the consumption of toast, Caleb, is up for debate as a food expert claims that you can elevate the taste of the toast that you eat every day without changing the toppings you use.
See, back in my day, I really thought that the big debate on toast was just how dark it should be.
Uh-huh.
Do you want your toast semi-burnt, not burnt at all? Is it a golden brown? Uh-huh. Does it need to have a little dark on it? And then, of course, the toppings of said toast, I never really thought that I was eating it wrong.
That's kind of like the coffee debate. You go from dark to so much creamer that I sent a picture of Michael's coffee yesterday to the family chat, and people are like, is there even coffee in there? So, yeah. But apparently the secret to having tastier toast is all in the way that you hold the bread.
So this ends up becoming sort of like the Butter Battle book with Dr. Seuss. In what direction do the toppings on your toast face, up or down?
Now, it's hard to imagine. I mean, I always think, again, you put the butter on there, maybe some jam, peanut butter, what have you. and then you eat it, right?
But yes,
that's the way you've been doing it. Well, apparently the food expert, how do you get to be a food expert, says that that's wrong. According to experts at Eat This, you should try eating the toast upside down as it might change your life.
Really?
They explain, eat your toast topping side down, the honey, the peanut butter, the jam, so that your taste buds get the most out of the toast eating experience.
You know who's going to get the most out of that toast eating experience? My dog, because everything's going to fall
that's
on the floor
the
and he's going to get it.
Yeah, that's the concern. But I guess if you're over the table, over a plate, and you've got the jam on there or what have you, I'm going to try this.
So the toppings touch the taste buds first
yes.
instead of second. You don't have to make your way through the toasted bread.
Wow, we've been settling for second best.
Goodness. Eat this. The folks there, they want the best for us.
Thank you. Oh, the Whip Wake Up Show at WWIB. Well, a half hour ago, we did talk about food, and they say if you want to enjoy your toast more, eat it upside down. You'll savor the toppings and taste them better.
Huh?
Well, this time around, we've got some common food misconceptions, courtesy of Wikipedia.
Yes, and we know everything is completely factual on there, which is why we're bringing it to the air.
Yes.
Okay, but here, so again, for what it's worth, common food misconception, searing does not, in fact, seal moisture in meat. In fact, it causes it to lose some moisture. Huh. Meat is seared to brown it, improving its color and flavor.
There
I didn't know that. Wikipedia does.
How about this one? Twinkies have a shelf life of around 45 days, despite the common claim that they remain edible for decades.
Huh. This one I have heard. The vast majority of expiration dates in the U.S. are regulated by state governments and refer to peak food quality, not its safety. The use-by date represents the last day the manufacturer warrants the quality of their product. With the exception of some perishables, properly stored food can very safely be eaten past their expiration dates. And I can testify to that because I eat expired stuff all the time because I don't want it to go to waste.
Is it a proper stereotype in my mind that it's the dads who are the ones who are willing to eat well beyond the expiration
date?
Much more. Also, another food misconception. Turkey meat is not particularly high in tryptophan, we thought it was, and does not cause more drowsiness than other foods. Drowsiness after holiday meals generally comes from overeating.
A few more food misconceptions here on the Whip Wake Up Show. Rice does not cause birds to die by inflating their stomachs until they burst. Birds do eat wild rice, though some species avoid it. This common misconception has often led to weddings using millet, confetti, or other materials to shower the newlyweds
as
they leave the ceremony instead of traditionally throwing rice. Honestly, I'd rather rice not be thrown at me
So I think we got married 24 years ago.
Let's just leave that misconception out there.
I think people are using bubbles more commonly. So anyhow, here's another food misconception. Spinach, Popeye. Spinach does not have a particularly high iron content. The alleged origin of the misconception that it was caused by a decimal point error is also false. And the creator of the character Popeye never claimed that the source of Popeye's strength was the iron in the spinach, but it's vitamin A.
Huh. And one final common food misconception. Again, our source, Wikipedia, take it for what it's worth. Coffee, tea, Diet Cola, and other drinks containing caffeine are not, in fact, dehydrating. Many medical experts continue to claim, quote, coffee is dehydrating, misinformation that may have begun with a 1928 study.
I'll tell you what, though. That's hard to believe because I drink the coffee, the caffeine boost a little bit, but you definitely feel more thirsty.
Yeah, so, again, some of these I've heard, some of them I haven't, but for what it's worth, you can have the debates around your dinner table tonight.